Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to Family Church, the Mayville edition. Praise God. Hallelujah. So good to see all your smiling faces out there today. Glory to God. I believe that means you're excited for the word. Glory to God. I know you can smell the soup, but I know you want the word first. Can you bring me down just a hair up there? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We smell the soup, but we want the word. Amen. Get alphabet soup. We got the word. We mix them right together. We can say, I used to love that too. Whatever happened? Do they even make that anymore? I don't know. Praise the Lord. But they do. Well, praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Campbell's, for still making alphabet soup. Hallelujah. Well, today we're going to get the word. Amen. It feels like it's been forever since I've been in the pulpit here. It's actually been a few weeks. Well, yeah, but on Sunday morning, praise the Lord. I was here Tuesday. Praise God. Where were you? No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We were here Tuesday, but it's good to be in the pulpit. Amen. It's good to be where God has called you to be. Hallelujah. God's got good things for us today. Amen. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Josh, you believe it? I know you do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Today's message is called Bringing Order to Chaos. So that's what happens if you sit in the front row. You're subject to get picked on. Praise the Lord. But Josh is a mighty man of God. Hallelujah. He's going to do great things for God, right? Praise the Lord. We believe it. And there's a lot of others in here too. Praise the Lord, but bringing order to chaos. Amen. This is something that's been stirring and turning in my heart, and I've been studying some things out, you know, for some time now, and the Lord's just been dealing with me a lot in this area, you know, and this is an area that I think that especially, it's not just for this church, but it's something that we all need to be aware of and constantly aware of. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have to remember that God does not work in a place of chaos. God is a God of order. God will always be a God of order. And so if our lives are chaotic, praise the Lord, that's because that shows us, number one, that God's not working there. And if God's not working there, it's not because he doesn't want to. How many know that God desires work in all our lives? Hallelujah. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter who you are. God desires to do great things for you and in you. Praise the Lord. But he can't do it in chaos. God orders chaos. Amen. He puts chaos back in order. We're going to see that in the word today. But we have to understand that this is a very, very, very important principle. Amen. In fact, one of the biggest reasons I think that Christians go without what God has for them is because their lives are too often too disordered. Amen. Now, if you don't know me personally, then you wouldn't know that naturally speaking, I am not an orderly person. Amen. If there is a mess to be made, I am the one that would probably make it. I am very good at making messes. You can ask my wife. Glory to God. I have given it 43 years of practice, and I have done so very well. Praise God. But even recently, in the past, especially in the past, I don't know, a few months, God has really just been, like, there's been things changing in me. And part of that has been because of my confession. Part of that is because of the pleading of my wife, praise the Lord, and probably years of pleading for my mother as well. But, God has really been stirring in me this desire to have things in order in my own life. And I mean everything from spiritually, so as important as that is, all the way down to just little things, amen? Like, I've gotten really particular about how the dishes go in the dishwasher. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm not telling you that you have to do that yourself, but you got to understand that God wants to work in your life, and he does so. Don't neglect. The Bible says that the small foxes spoil the vine. Those are the things that we have to look for. It's the little things that sneak in over time and nibble away at it. Amen. And so we want to be orderly people. Praise the Lord. And this includes all areas of our life. So I'm not just picking on one area. But we are going to see in the word today that before God can do anything good, he has to put it back in order. He has to put it in order. Amen. And so we understand that God wants to order our lives. His desire is to order our lives. The Bible tells us he wants to order our lives. So we need to allow him to do that. But we have to give him a slate to work on. Amen. We can't do that if we're resistant. How many know, have learned that by now, that the way God works is with us? Amen. He doesn't work apart from us. He works through us. Hallelujah. But with us. Amen. And so God will take as much as we give him, and he'll do with what he can with it. Now, our God is a good God. He loves us very much. And so God will take any little bit that we give him, and he'll do something with it. But even though it's exciting that he'll do anything with anything that we give him, we need to understand, in order for him to do everything he wants to do, we have to give him all. We can't just give them a little bit and just say, here, God, this is good enough, because it's not good enough. We as Christians should always strive for more. And I want to put this out there ahead of time. Listen, if your life is a complete wreck, if your life is a complete chaos, and I see many people that go to this church, so I'm just going to say that it probably isn't a complete wreck, hallelujah. I don't believe that there's some effect, hallelujah. But even if you have a lot of things that seem disorderly, don't get discouraged by this message. Don't get discouraged about putting things in order. We never need, you know, it's a trick of the devil to get us discouraged when we hear the word preach. What is that? It's him trying to get us to turn away from what was preached, which is ultimately our help. When we start feeling discouraged, we have to understand that, number one, that's not God. The Bible says there is therefore no condemnation to those who love God, amen, who walk according to his purpose, praise the Lord. And so if you're endeavoring to walk according to his purpose, well, praise the Lord, you don't need to be condemned. So if condemnation comes on you, it's not the Lord, it's the devil, amen. No, we can be convicted if we do our own thing, but if we stay in conviction after we repent, that's still not God. And so we have to understand that. Amen? Praise the Lord. So why don't you turn with me first? We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 2. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Praise the Lord. First Corinthians 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. This is why we teach people to be spiritual people. Because the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. This is an important thing to understand. We are not going to receive what God has for us because they are spiritually discerned, the Bible tells us. We're not going to receive them if we try to do so naturally. In other words, if you try to understand God just with your natural mind, this is why people can read through the Word. I hear lots of arguments against the Word. I heard one recently. It was this atheist guy that was trying to refute the Word of God. And he went through and he was starting to say all this stuff, and he was saying ridiculous things, and he was trying to tell the minister. He said if your God still exists and still does miracles, he said, call fire down from heaven just like Elijah, because Elijah did. Well, see, that's a man who doesn't understand the way that the processes of things work. We have to understand how God works. God doesn't just work according to our whims. Amen. He's not going to just work according to what we want. Praise the Lord. That we don't just manipulate God and stuff like that. But we have to understand that there is an understanding that you have to have with God, and that's spiritual understanding. If we try to experience God just with the natural being. Now listen, we're in this natural body. Praise the Lord. We're in this human body that's very natural. But how many know this natural body decays? Yeah. It falls apart. Eventually, it stops working completely and it's dead. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we don't have to contend with this natural body forever? I mean, seriously, is there anyone here who started getting older and started feeling the effects of getting older? Praise the Lord. And have you thought, man, I'm glad that this body just doesn't get worse and worse and that's all there is? Right? If that's what you think, oh, that's all that there is, then you said, we got to get you saved and realize that there's more for you. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us that when we go to heaven, of course, this body does decay. We're not going to stop that. Now, God will preserve it. I'm not saying that he won't. Well, we have to work with him on that as well. God will preserve our bodies here on earth and keep them better longer. But they're not going to be without fault because this body is not meant to last. Amen. And so we understand that God is going to give us a new body, a glorified body, a better one than the one we have. Amen. Hallelujah. So if that's the truth and we're only here for a short time, then let's not let our focus just be this body. If our focus is just this body, then we're missing something completely. Amen. We're missing what God has for us, all that he really has for us. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. But the Spirit who is from... But the natural man does not receive the things of God, of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Praise the Lord. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by nobody, by no one. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Glory to God. So we see here, now, you know, I hear so often, I hear people say, you know, you don't judge me, you can't judge me, blah, 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 blah. And a lot of times it's somebody who thinks that they're a Christian that says things like that. And a lot of times it's somebody who's a Christian who's living in sin who likes to say that. Amen. But we see right here, he who is spiritual judges all things. Praise the Lord. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we go around seeing whom we can condemn and who we can point at and say you're doing wrong. No, it means that just what it says. It means they judge all things. They look at all things and make a judgment about that, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's right, whether it's wrong, whether it's edifying or not unedifying, whether it's going to strengthen them or not strengthen them. Amen. We have to judge all things. The problem is when Christians stop judging things. Amen. They stop looking at things and discerning. Listen, our life is going to be a series of judgments. Our life is going to be, you know, you make judgment calls every day. Does anyone here have a driver's license? Praise the Lord. You make a lot of judgment calls all the time. Hopefully you make the right ones when you're behind the wheel of a vehicle. Praise the Lord. But nobody questions you if you are going to say, I'm going to make judgment calls while I'm driving. Why? Because everyone knows that that's a very important thing to do while you're driving. Well, guess what? We're driving through this life. Hallelujah. On the highway of life. Glory to God. Life is a highway. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? We've heard it before, you know, I'm not just saying it now, but we've all heard it. Praise the Lord. Life is a highway. It's a journey. All this stuff. We're driving. We might as well make some judgment calls so we stay on the right track. Yeah. Amen. We want to make course of judgments. And, you know, I always say this, nobody gets mad at the GPS when they've gotten lost and the GPS is getting them back on track. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we need to be the same. Now, this word judge, wouldn't you know, I looked it up. Praise the Lord, because I wanted to dig in, because we all know what the word judge means, but we're going to look at this a little bit deeper, amen? Yeah. To judge means to investigate. It means to examine, to scrutinize, to determine the defects of any person or thing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And down there where it says we have mind of Christ, I looked that up in the Dakes. I love what it says there. It says, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the we mind the same things that Christ did. We have the same spirit. Hallelujah. And so what we understand about Jesus is that Jesus, he made judgment calls all the time. He determined if what he was doing was the right way to go. He determined if where he was going was effective or not. I still, 5.5 years in, and I still have some people in the church that I'm trying to lead into this place of, listen, you just got to make some judgment calls. Because there's still people that have been with us a long time that make dumb judgment calls. I'm just telling you the truth. And it's not just this church, it's any church, it's any place, anybody, praise the Lord. But there's, listen, year after year after year, if we're making dumb judgment calls, we have to determine at some point to grow up spiritually, amen? You know, a lot of people do, is there anything that's worse than seeing a full-grown adult acting like a little baby? There's nothing worse than that, right? It's disgusting. You see it? My wife and I, we were in the store the other day. Glory to God, hallelujah. You remember this? We were in the store the other day, and there was this kid in the store, and this kid was ridiculous. I mean, ridiculous. Now, this kid was not about Ezra's age, about 11 years old, so should know better, should know how to behave. Listen, if you have an 11-year-old kid, they better know how to be able to mind themselves in public, being able to function in public. They should, but this kid didn't, and I can't even go into all this kid, but it was over the top ridiculous, and every person in the store was watching this. Some people were laughing, thinking it was cute. We were looking at it, thinking it was disgusting, knowing that this kid's life is going to be a wreck because of the chaos that somebody is allowed to be in it. Listen, praise the Lord. Kids need to be taught. When adults allow kids to make the decisions, to make the judgment calls, they're allowing the most foolish thing on earth to happen. It is absolutely ridiculous. But this is why we have a lot of things in society the way we do, is because of people that are allowed to do whatever they want to do. Yeah. Amen. We have to understand. We have to make judgment calls. We have to examine things and say, is this beneficial for me to do this? Is it really beneficial for me to be acting like this? You know what I mean? I always use the example. I love to use this example because it was one that was very clear in our lives. But my son was back in my son Mark, back when he was in high school, He was in a sport. He was taking part in a sport. Amen. There was nothing wrong with it. We were fine to do it as long as he was. Well, there were certain rules that we placed on it. We said, you know, if church is going on, you won't be doing that. And we told his coach the same thing. We said, you know, if church is going on, he's not allowed to be there. Coach agreed to it, all that stuff. Amen. But in his last year, he got into doing a bunch of other things. He started working. He wanted to have a car. And, of course, we were doing things at the church. And so he was serving there and stuff like that. And the question came up. He didn't have time for everything. And something was gonna have to give. And we made the judgment call. And we said, listen, you can't do everything. You're going to have to decide to do one thing. The reason I bring this up is because what I said to him was what was important. I said to him, I'm like, you can do this activity the rest of your life, and you probably will in some form. You will enjoy it as a pastime. But as far as competition goes, you're only going to do it for this last year, and then you'll never do it again. You may do, you know, it was running. He said you might run in a race here or there or something like that. But you're not going to go out there and compete professionally in anything. So if you take all your focus and you put it in that area, and take it off of things that you really want or that are really important to you, what's going to happen? You're going to be focused in something that is going to be here and gone, and then all of a sudden you're going to turn around and you're going to say, well, what about now? And see, I did the same thing. I was in a certain sport when I was in high school, and the same exact thing. You know, it was so important to me to be a part of it. Why do I bring that up? It has nothing to do with the sport. It has everything to do with decisions that we make on things that don't matter. We make decisions or we make judgment calls on things sometimes that we think are important for the moment. You know, it's like a teenager. I tell all teenagers this. When you're in high school, man, everything is so important to you. It's like the end of the world if something happens. And I tell every single teenager that I've ever talked to about this, in 5 years, you will not care. The things that were so important to you, were life and death to you today, will not matter to you in 5 years. 10 years, you won't even remember them. 10 years, 15 years, you probably won't remember half the people that you hung out with. That's the truth. And not everybody's going to be talking and hanging. It's just the way that it is. Life moves on. But we need to learn to make judgment calls. A lot of people make judgment calls still like they're teenagers. I see this a lot in adult Christians. They're like, listen, it shouldn't be a question of whether or not you should be in church or not. That's not hard to figure out. Listen, if you know why you come here, then you should know that coming here is for a reason that's good, that's spiritual, that'll help you. Like if you just lackadaisical, you know, like, you know, if you can be moved away by something like a barbecue or something because you're too, you know, because you're just too tired to be there today or something like that. I'm just telling you the truth. Listen, the house of the Lord was put together so we could flourish, so we could thrive, which we can't do if we're not connected to it, which was Tuesday's message, praise the Lord, and it would do you good to listen to it. Hallelujah. But we need to be connected. We need to make these judgment calls. We need to examine ourselves. We need to examine our lives. We need to examine things all the time. But most importantly, we have to examine the things that are out of order in our lives. And you know the things that are out of order in your life. You're going to say, well, Pastor Jeff, how do I know all the things that are out of order in your life? I'm glad you asked because now I can tell you. Praise the Lord. The reason, the way you can know is because those things don't cause peace. Those things rob peace. And so if you have something that's robbing peace, the first thing that you have to realize is that that is not God, that is against you. It's trying to do exactly what it's doing. And by you allowing it to be there under any circumstance, you are siding with it and you are giving it free reign and free course in your life. Praise the Lord. It's quiet in this Presbyterian congregation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're giving it free course in your life. You're opening the door for that to come in. Listen, we decide when you don't like it or when you like it or when you want it or when you don't want it. If a bee came in and started stinging you, would you stay there and let it sting you and think, why is this bee stinging me? It hurts so bad. No, you'd start swatting. You'd start running. You'd start doing everything you could to get away from it, right? Yeah. Everyone except for my son Caleb. Praise the Lord. I got to tell this story. One time we were in... we were up at my in-laws' camp, which is not far from here. We were up in the camp, and they have a little pavilion with a little space up top there where for hanging out and stuff. You know, it's like in the roof rafters kind of thing. It was just a little, my brother-in-law had built it originally, I think, for a place to camp or something like that, the little pavilion. And anyways, there was a blanket or a sleeping bag up there, and Caleb was up there one day playing. And when he got up there, he decided to pull the ladder up with him. So he pulled the ladder up, and he's hanging up there, out there playing, and he's stomping around up there or whatever. And what we didn't know is in the time that we weren't there, that bees had built a nest in that blanket. Yeah, and so all of a sudden, Caleb starts yelping because he's getting stung by bees. Well, he had pulled the ladder up. He can't get down. And so I run over to the get him, and then of course they start stinging me too. And I'm standing there, I'm like this, I'm like, Caleb, jump, jump. And now I'm screaming, jump, get away from them bees, get me away from them bees, jump so we can get out of here. Hallelujah. Caleb was quite a bit younger, praise the Lord. But you know, a lot of Christians, they keep getting stung and they just stand there with the nest. They ain't trying to get away. They're not examining and saying, wait a minute, this burns. What? There's something about this that's not right. If it's causing chaos, if it's causing a lack of peace in your life, it's something you need to cut out. It's something you need to get out the bee spray and start spraying it. Amen. We need to investigate. We need to examine. We need to scrutinize. Why? Because this is what Jesus did, and we have the mind of Christ. We don't instruct God, but we have his mind. He's put his very mind on the inside of us to follow it. But if we reject it because of, well, let's just say emotions, the words I want, you know, I'm not talking about like I want this, but like I want this. You know what I mean? The words, that phrase, I want, that's emotional. That's like that has no basis in anything. You may want something really bad today, but then tomorrow you might not. You find out something. You know when you know you really want something? That when no matter what comes against it, praise the Lord, you still want that thing. It's kind of like my wife and my relationship. Yeah, amen. No matter what I do, praise the Lord, she may get really mad, but no matter what I do, she eventually still says, I want it. I guess I just want it. So we know that she really wants it. Amen. This isn't a fickle relationship. She's not just saying, oh, I like him because he's so hot, or, you know, because, you know, because he does all the, you know, because he's so talented and such a good pastor and all this stuff. You know, he's just, we know that's fickle. I know that, you know, that could be something that a lot of people could be drawn into, but she's been drawn in and she really wants it. She wants it. You know what I mean? So it's not just an emotional want. Praise the Lord. I don't know. I'm trying to stay afloat here. Just go with me, girl. We'll get there. Praise the Lord. But there's a difference between really wanting something, when something means something to you, you know, when there's, you know, or when just something is a passing, fleeting thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. But a lot of people, it's amazing to me how many people are still led by that passing, fleeting, yeah, just thoughts. Like like one little thing can cause them to be shipwrecked for the entire day. Or they're like, we shouldn't be like that. We're made children of God who have been given the access and door, the key to everything, all of eternity. Praise the Lord. We are the very people of God. Praise the Lord. We are, as we learned last night, we're special. Hallelujah to God. He looks at us and says we're special. So we got all these things going for us. Why do we get so shipwrecked over little stupid things? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. You know, there's people. I've had people in this church. I've had people in this church who have been moved out of this church because of something that I said. Well, if you can be moved from where you're supposed to be so simply, come on, grow up, man. Yeah, that's such spiritually immature, and it is ridiculous to think that if, you know, like, you know, somebody, you know, well, my son's learned this over the years, that not everybody you work with is going to be a good Christian friend. You know what I mean? They're not going to edify you. Not everybody that you're going to work with, no matter how hard you are going to be around, no matter how hard you try, they're not going to necessarily be nice to you. No matter how nice you are to them, some people are going to just treat you like garbage. So are you going to quit your job that's doing good for you, or that's working for you, just because somebody treated you a little bit bad today? Get over yourself. I mean, these kinds of things, you know, we have to understand that, listen, we have to have a judgment level that's a little bit stricter, a little bit stronger than just fleeting thoughts. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, the Bible says that as a man thinks, so is he. Praise the Lord. And so we have to scrutinize our thoughts. We have to order our thoughts. Praise the Lord. You know, I pondered this while I was putting this message together. But have you ever changed your mind? Right? Amen? Suddenly you don't. Suddenly you decide you don't like something because you got the facts on it. Maybe you really wanted this car. Has anyone done that? Ever you really wanted a car or a bike or something like something that you use like that? And then you go test drive it and you're like, oh, that stinks. Yeah. That ain't no good. I don't want that. Yeah, you just change your mind because you got the facts on it, right? Folks, here are facts. Here's our truth. This is our facts. If it don't line up with this, let's just decide. If it didn't line up with this, I'm going to change my mind. It is not hard to change your mind when you find out the facts that something doesn't work, is it? It's not hard to change your mind and say, wait a minute. The way I was living, it didn't work. It did me no good. It wasn't getting me anywhere. But I can see testimony after testimony after testimony of people who follow this, and things have changed. I want to change something, amen? My life, God, I am convinced, firmly convinced, that the reason that the Lord uses me is because of how chaotic and how much of a mess my life was. Because if he could take a person like what I was, praise the Lord, and he could transform me, and then not just transform me into something that was actually then okay, but then take that thing that was okay and now be usable for something powerful, for something magnificent. And I'm not talking about what I do. I'm talking about what God does. Amen. But if he can, I am firmly convinced that in God's mind, that if I can show people that, praise the Lord, then I can show people that there is nobody that is without or that is beyond my reach. There's nobody who is beyond my ability to affect, to change. Amen? And the truth is, there really is nobody. Amen? Here's the facts. We get the facts. Let's change. You know, when we look at something, we say, this isn't right. Let's decide. I'm going to make it my pursuit to reorder that thing, to change it. Because that's where God is, amen? Now we're going to see this. I know you want to get into the Old Testament, so we're going to go there. Genesis 1, 2. Boy, that's just about at the beginning, isn't it? Just about. That's almost all the way there. Praise the Lord. That ain't looking at the house. That's standing on the door, folks. Standing at the door. On the porch. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Genesis 1, 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I'm going to show you some interesting stuff, and we're going to break this apart. You mind? Praise the Lord. I'm going to show you some interesting stuff here because there's some really, God showed me some really cool things. Now, first of all, without form and void. The Bible says that the earth was without form and void. Praise the Lord. That literally means it was formless, confusion, a wasteland, or a place of chaos. Hallelujah. So that's what it means when it says the earth was without form and void. It was a place of chaos. Praise the Lord. It was a wasteland. Glory to God. Now, I've seen this all my life, and I had never seen this before this time, before I started studying this out. But it says, in the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Right? Now, that can be a little misleading. It always was to me. If we don't study to show ourselves approved, as the Bible says. You know, God wasn't just like floating over the waters. Just hovering over the waters. He wasn't just, ooh, doo-doo-doo-doo, I'm God, and I'm floating, and here's the waters. That's not what God was doing. We have to understand, see, there's more to Scripture. There's meat in there. And if we want to dig in, we can find out what's in the meat. Amen? Yeah. Glory to God. He wasn't just floating around. Remember, God isn't aimless. He never is aimless. God, everything that God does, every single move that he makes has purpose. Every decision he makes has purpose. It has direction. It has point. It has aim. And so, since we have the mind of Christ, we ought to be the same way. Yeah. That is not enough. That's not you. That's not. Listen, I am an unplanned person. Just let me tell you, I am a spur of the moment, fly by the seat of my pants, do it last minute if I can kind of guy. I'm just telling you the truth. But that it doesn't mean that I have to let all of that go. It just means that what I do, I do it with purpose. You know, Jesus moved around and just did things, but he did them with purpose. Oh, we're gonna see it. We're gonna see it if we can get in there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God wasn't floating around aimless. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Just stay there in Genesis because we're going to come back to it, but I want to pull this up. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. And so in God's creation, this is what we understand by this scripture, to everything there is a season. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. There can be seasons of wilderness where there just doesn't seem like much, where it seems like there's no supply, where it doesn't seem like you're going to get through, but there's a season for it. Why? Because there is a time for every purpose under heaven. God has purpose in everything that he allows to go on in your life. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have to understand that everything that God does is with purpose. Now, I want to read Genesis 1:2. I want to go back there. I want to read that in the Amplified, which says, "The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was on the face of the very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters." So that word brood, and that's in the definition. If you break that word hovering down in the original Hebrew, it also means to brood, which is an interesting word. It means to think deeply about something that makes one unhappy. In other words, to judge. See, God's judgment, God was judging the earth. He was hovering over the water, and he was thinking about it. He was contemplating how it needs to be. And how it's not right. Why? It was chaos. So what does God do? Of course, then we know that God goes into the very next scriptures, or God going into recreating, reforming the earth. That was not the creation account. Praise the Lord. A lot of people preach that the 6 days of creation, but that is not the creation of everything. That is not the beginning of time. There's too much scripture that points to otherwise. Now, you can argue with me and say, I still believe that. That's fine. But you cannot point to me in the scripture and show me where the earth is 6,000 years old. You can't do it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It never says that the earth is 6,000 years old. Right. The people that are hung up on that and believe that, they're just people that aren't, they're not judging the whole scripture. They're not getting in there and examining all that God has said. Actually, we understand according to scripture, the earth is much, much older. Amen. And that this was actually the first flood that was before Noah's flood. Ooh, hallelujah. That's a whole other. But some people call it heresy. I had people that got really mad at me for saying that once. I think they're not here partially because of that. They're actually not here because they got offended, but they're not here partially because of that. That was the excuse they used. But I'm going to use it again. Amen. Praise the Lord. It means to brood, means to think deeply about something. So we see that God's not aimless. He's floating above, and that makes sense, right? He's not aimless. He's not just hovering there saying he's God and I'm excited about myself. No, he's actually doing something. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, I want to read Genesis 1:2. I'm going to read it in a few different versions. I'm going to read it now. It's called the Rotherham Emphasized Bible. "Now, the earth had become waste and wild, and darkness was on the face of the roaring deep. But the Spirit of God was brooding on the face of the waters." Genesis 1:2 in the Message Bible, "Earth was a soup of nothingness." Soup Sunday! Hallelujah. I didn't even plan it that way, but glory to God. "Earth was a soup of nothingness." Praise the Lord. "A bottomless emptiness and inky blackness. God's Spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss." Praise the Lord. So we see what Genesis was all about. The beginning of Genesis there was, when we go back and study it out, it was all about God ordering things. He's putting things back into place. He's bringing the land forth and bringing the creatures forth, the plants, you know, all the stuff. And different. I got that out of order, but you know, praise the Lord. Glory to God. If you want blessing in your life, you will have to order it. You'll have to order it. You're going to have to order your life. If you want blessing, you're not going to get there unless you order it. God has given you the tools. You might say, I don't even know where to begin. That's fine. Start there. Yeah. Listen, just because we don't know where to start doesn't mean we quit. Right. Just because we don't know how to get there doesn't mean we just stop going. Praise the Lord. You know, listen, if people gave up on regular stuff as easy as they give up on life sometimes, or as easy as they give up on God, they wouldn't get very far. Man, I'm just telling you, some people, they'll seek directions to your house more than they'll seek directions from God. They will. I mean, some people say, well, they sit one service, they get frustrated, and they sit there and think, oh, it must be all over, I can't do this. Well, that's just stupid. Well, how do you know? You haven't even tried it yet. You haven't even attempted to step out yet. You haven't even attempted to see what God wants to do. Listen, God, if God will do it in one, he'll do it in another. He isn't just doing it for one child and not the other. He wants to do it for everyone. But you got to make a determination that you're going to start making judgment calls that weren't the same that you always made. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of God spoke this to me as I was preparing this message, that chaos begets chaos. In other words, chaos is born out of chaos. So why does the devil try to stir us up into chaos so much? Why does it matter in all these areas? Because what's happening is if the devil can get you in a little bit of chaos, he knows that it's going to beget more chaos. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Look at some of the dumb ways of thinking. If you watch the news at all, I'm not going to get political, I promise. But if you watch the news at all, you're going to hear people say things that are absolutely ridiculous. I mean, absolutely ridiculous. When you can have 15,000 different genders, it's ridiculous. It's not that hard to figure. This isn't political. That's just like right down the line. This is like common sense, folks. But then we have people that are actually arguing for this. Praise God. Hallelujah. How can I say this? Praise God. I don't know if I should. I'll wait on that just because I don't know if I should. But praise the Lord. There is an example that my wife and I were talking about actually this morning that is so completely out there and so backwards and ridiculous that you look at it and your jaw drops. But it's completely acceptable in the society we live. Why is it? How did we get to this point? Because chaos begets chaos. You allow a little bit, and a little bit more is taken, and then a little bit more. It multiplies. It's like a virus. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. So turn with me to Mark 1:35. We have the mind of Christ, right? And so we're going to look at how Christ minded it. Praise the Lord. Mark 1:35. You getting help today?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Mark 1:35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, Jesus, and there he prayed. Now he didn't sit down, get down on his knees and say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That's not what he was doing. Jesus' prayer life with God was so much more had so much more substance than that, and so should ours. Listen, folks, we need to get out of religious thinking and get into an actual relationship with God. My Lord, he's been just desiring it for so long. Listen, this isn't about rules and regularly just following and doing everything right. It's about having a relationship with the most our most high God. Hallelujah. So he went there, and basically he went to, I actually wrote this next to it, prayed in my Bible, seeking. He went seeking God. He went to spend time with the Father. Praise the Lord. The first thing he did, before anybody else was up, praise the Lord, says a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, away from everybody, away from everything. He wasn't checking Instagram. He wasn't checking Fox News. He went out by himself. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And he prayed. He started seeking God. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." Like they were surprised, right?
Yeah.
Verse 38, but he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." So now we see how he answers them. It's really quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
That he answers them by saying, they said, "Everybody's been looking for you," and he gives them direction. And like you can kind of read over this real quickly if you don't think about it, if you don't examine it, if you don't judge it, and miss exactly what was going on here. Jesus spent the first part of every day, before he did anything else, he got up, he went out, and he sought the Lord for the direction. Why was Jesus, why was he effective in what he did? Because every single move was done by the direction of God. He went to God first, and he said, "Lord, your opinion matters first. Your direction matters to me first. What do you have to do in your day? Do you seek God first?" See, this is the first place that you add order to your life is by seeking God for it. Not seeking everything else. Oh, it's real easy to wake up in the morning. Is there anybody who's got something to do today?
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Monday. Is there anybody who's got something to do Monday?
Yeah.
Anyone got a busy week ahead of them? Praise the Lord. Jesus had 3 years to do everything that he was going to do, save the entire world. Does any of your plans involve saving the entire world this week? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You see what I'm saying? I love what Charles Finney said. Listen, I'm convicted by this too. And actually, I've been working at changing it because of this. Charles Finney said, I had so much to do today, I got up and prayed 4 hours. Or something to that nature. Praise the Lord. Why did he have such a huge ministry that took over and did all these wonderful things? Some of you don't even know who he is, but he had a huge revival in this area. Praise the Lord. Why was he so effective at what he did? Because he prayed. He spent time seeking God. Not prayed, oh Lord, give me this for today and give me that today. No, he sat down, spent time with the Lord and sought him. Lord, what direction do you have? Order my life. Do you go to God like that in prayer? Is your prayer always, oh, God, I need this? See, this is, you know, this is what, then this is why. Thank you, Lord. He just showed me this. This is why I wrote this down during worship, but he spoke this to my heart. And this is exactly why. This was the moment. I wasn't sure when it was for, so I wrote it down. It's time to focus on something else. That's what he said to me. Now, it wasn't just for me. That was direction. That was direction that I was supposed to give out. It's time to focus on something else. What does it mean? It's time to focus on something other than you. Because when we are constantly focused, listen, if you are me-minded, you're always thinking about your stuff. How do I get out of this? How do I fix this? Do you know, and I believe there's a sermon coming, praise the Lord. I hope that it's next week. Kind of seems that it might be, but maybe it won't be. But the Lord was showing me, just unveiling stuff to me about how we as his people, we spend too much time looking for the answers instead of just seeking the one who answers. Because the answers are promised to come if we just seek him. Yes. Praise the Lord. Oh, how would it be to go before God with no needs, no desires? I'm not saying you can't ask God for desires, but this is the focus of most Christians' prayer is, Lord, how do you fix this? How do get me out of this? Get me out of that. Fix this, fix that. Bring me this. Bring me that. I don't have enough of this. I don't have enough of that. Jesus said, don't worry about all that stuff. When you're focused on that, that's what you're focused on. That's your God. That's what your worship is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why are so many Christians not seeing the end to their problem? Because that is all they're focused on. They're not focused on the one who delivers them. They're focused on the thing they're delivered into. And not delivered by God, but delivered from Satan. Satan has opened the doors, they've walked in, they've sat down, and they won't ask the God who can get the only one to get them out. They won't just seek him. Listen, seeking God is not going to God, Lord, what can you give me? Seeking God is going to God and saying, Lord, I love you, I worship you, I believe that you're good, I trust in you, you have all my heart. There is nothing that can distract me from you because I am all in with you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I know that you alone are good. I know that you take care of all things. Praise the Lord. And then all of a sudden that stuff will start creeping in. How do you deal with that stuff when it starts creeping in? Do you turn around and say, wait a minute, I'm spending time with my Father. I don't have time for thoughts of why I don't have. Because my Father provides. He is the provider. It's his very nature. That's what the Bible says. But why aren't Christians seeing his provision? They're seeing it because all they're looking for is the provision. They could care less about seeing his face. And see, this is why so many Christians, they, even in our camps, we learn faith, we learn all these great things, and it's great, but then they don't see the power of God, and the reason is because they've never learned to put their own stuff down and focus on the one who really matters. That's what Jesus did. But that's why when Jesus went up and said, oh, blind eyes be open, they were open. Yeah. What kind of power of God do you want in your life? Actually, you want to know a sad thing? A lot of Christians don't want any power of God because they don't care enough. A lot of Christians don't care enough about someone else to put their own stuff down. I say this all the time. If you're so focused on your own stuff, if you've ever said to somebody, oh, I can't help you right now because I just, my life's, you're not who God has made you to be. God has made us to put our stuff down. He'll take care of it and for us to help someone else. Lead someone else in the path. Show somebody else the way to order our lives. See, by doing that, by focusing on these things, you might think that I'm being mean and saying, oh, you're just calling me selfish. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is you are embracing your chaos. Yeah. You are embracing your disorder. When God was hovering above the earth, if he just looked at it and said, this isn't right, what am I ever going to do with this? I can't make anything out of this. That's not what God was thinking. He was ordering the earth. He was thinking, okay, we're going to put this back in order. It's going to look like this. This isn't right. This is out of place. This is out of place. This is out of place. We look at the life that is chaotic and we put it back in order, the same way God did. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Most people, they just want relief so they can just have relief. Listen, if you're going through a financial trial and your only purpose for wanting to get out of the financial trial so you don't feel anymore, you just missed it. Because your purpose to get out of a financial trial should be solely so you can give God more. Why do I want to be a wealthy man? Not because I want to be rich. I used to claim that. You didn't know me before. I used to sit there and claim, and I got rebuked for it once by a pastor friend of mine. I used to sit there and claim, I don't ever want anything. I don't ever need anything any more than this. I just want a small little cabin. That's all I wanted. I didn't want much. I honest to God, you can ask anyone who knows me. My wife, like when she was probably scared when she first met me, because I was like happy to live in, all I wanted was a little one-room garage kind of thing, maybe with a little bathroom, you know, by itself. But I didn't want much more than that. That's all I wanted. That's all I desired. I wanted nothing more. Praise the Lord. I wanted an old pickup truck. I didn't even want a new one. Yeah, it's the truth. I'm just telling you where I was. And I would say that, and I was with a pastor one day, a pastor friend of mine, and I was talking to him, and I said, I don't ask much from God. I mean, I'd like my bills to be paid, but I don't want much more than that. And he rebuked me for it. He said, that's wrong. That's wrong thinking. What if God has more for you? See, because this is the thing. God doesn't give us stuff just for us. He gives us extra so we can share it with others. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you the truth. So we can grow his work, so we can make his kingdom look phenomenal, so we can expand and put churches in this town, in that town, in this town. But see, when everybody's focused on themselves, you know what's happening in the body of Christ? This is body Christ wide right now. This is not just here. And this is, I'll tell you why it's happening. If you wonder where these feelings come from, it is an absolute assault from the enemy trying to stop the last day revival. We talk about revival in the church, everybody gets excited, right? But then everybody retreats back. So, oh my gosh, I got this going on, that going on. Listen, I'll give it all up if it means giving it all up for God. If I got to do the work of God but give up everything else in life, guess what? I'm selling my house, selling the cars. Praise the Lord. I'll do whatever he calls me to do. If God tells me to get rid of everything and go to the middle of Africa and preach to some tribe, I'll do it. Whatever he calls me to do. Would you do the same? But see, most Christians are focused on their own. So I just want to be able to pay this month's rent. Well, that's the wrong way of thinking. You will see the turnaround when you get the focus off you. But I'm going to put this in the other perspective. Without putting the focus on the right place, you'll never see it. Now listen, God will bless you so greatly that while you're doing his work and giving out, that you will have abundance around you. You'll have more than you ever have, more than you ever imagined. That's the truth. But if your focus is just that to get out of it, you will never see it. Ever. It won't happen. Not with God. It will not happen. Let me say that again. It will not happen. Praise the Lord. What we do here is we try to change people's minds. Praise the Lord. We're trying to get people to start thinking differently. Mind of Christ-like. Not mind of human. Not mind of Jeff like I always thought, because that didn't work. Right? Not the mind of Renee, like she always thought, didn't work. Not the mind of John, like he always thought, didn't work. Did your mind before save you from troubles? Praise the Lord, hallelujah. But look at him now. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Glory to God. We have examples of lives that have so drastically changed. Listen, praise God, hallelujah. We just got to go after God with everything that we have. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we see this. Jesus said he went and sought God. And then when he came out, he knew exactly what to do. He said, for this purpose, I've come forth. He knew what his purpose was. Why? Because he spent time with God. Listen, spending time with God is not, it's not burdensome. It doesn't mean you have to be on your knees praying all night long or something like that. No, start spending time with God. If you want to build a relationship with me, how are you going to do it? You're going to come in with a painful look on your face and say, I don't really want to be here, but I'm going to force myself because I really want a relationship with you. I'm going to be like, get out of here, freak. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want that. You want somebody doing that to you? Hallelujah. Nobody wants that. Why would we think God wants that? Are we allowed to say freak in church? I did. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you see, the answers are not far from us. It's just a matter of changing our mind. It's a matter of scrutinizing, changing the thought process. Hallelujah. It's a matter of looking at it differently, examining. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Proverbs 3:5. Proverbs 3, 5. Stop, you're going to get me in trouble. Hallelujah. Yeah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know what it is to trust in the Lord with all your heart? I've been seeking God on this. I really have. I've been going back to the scripture a lot lately, and I've been like, Lord, what does it mean? Trusting you with all my heart. What does that mean? I thought I did. Yeah. But then he shows me I'm not. Yeah. Why? Because I still get worried. I still get distracted. I still get, well, folks, I'm preaching to me too. Yeah. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me too. Right. Well, we got this to do for the church. We got that to do. He didn't say, I didn't tell you to worry about that. I didn't tell you, said I'd take care of that. Yeah. Why are you trying to do my job? Yeah. How many know that's annoying? Yeah. I give you a job to do, and you're out doing it. I come out and take the broom from you or whatever and say, oh, no, I'm gonna do it because you're not doing it good enough. Or I make you feel that way. God, well, that's what we're doing with God. Yeah, his job is to cause the increase. It ain't our job. Praise the Lord. His job is to work it all out, it's not our job. Do you know Jesus? When Jesus was here, he didn't have specific powers to do what he did. He was a man who had the Holy Spirit come upon him, and because he followed God, he had the ability, and he trusted the Lord completely. Do you know when Jesus walked up to a person who was blind, about to lay his hands on them and said, blind eyes, be open, hallelujah. When Jesus did that, he had no more assurance than either you or I do. He didn't say, oh man, I've been practicing in the back room. I got like lightning bolts coming out of my finger. What do I do with it? Oh, I'm going to open some blind eyes. See, everybody has this idea of Jesus like he was some kind of magician. He was a man, a consecrated man, a dedicated man, one that was after God. Now listen, I am not saying you have to wake up at 3 a.m. and go pray to God for 4 hours. I'm not saying don't. You follow your own heart on that. But if you don't do it at all, it might be a good time to start a little. Because a little is going to help you a lot more than nothing. Amen? Praise the Lord. And God will expand your ability to be able to do it more. He will grow you to be able to spend more time more and to get in more. Amen? Praise the Lord. But yeah, Jesus didn't walk around with magic fingers. He walked around as a man, a human, like you or I are humans. Hallelujah. But he walked around knowing who God was. And he trusted him completely. Look at what it says. And lean not on your own understanding. Your own understanding. Boy, that just throws it out the window right now. Man, I just can't figure it out. Your own understanding. It's your own understanding. It's right there. Your own understanding. Every time you think, that's your understanding. You don't care what you think. I'm just telling you the truth. You need to get out of trouble. I don't care what you think. I need to know what he thinks. I don't care what I think. I can't figure out. I've proven I can't figure it out. You have too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. What was Jesus doing in Mark 1? Mark 1. Yeah, Mark 1. What was he doing there? He was acknowledging him in all his ways. He was going before the Lord. You know, acknowledging doesn't just mean, oh, yeah, that's God. Oh, God's here. God's good. That's not acknowledging God. Acknowledging God is going before him. Lord, you are the creator of heaven and earth. Lord, you are El Shaddai. You are Jehovah Shalom. You are the one who can, you are the one who overcomes. You are the one who created everything. You are the one who created eyes, praise the Lord. So you're the one who can make them see, hallelujah. Glory to God, because you know how to do it. You'll never pray over a person with blind eyes thinking that you can do it yourself. Praise God, you can't do it. I have never prayed over one person thinking I could help them. In fact, I've prayed over every person I've ever prayed over knowing I can't help them. I can't help you. How do you like that? Pastor just told you, I can't help you. It's not me who does it. It's God. Hallelujah. I can't help you do nothing. But I do know that I'm learning more about God. I know something about God. I'm learning more about God. Praise the Lord. And I know that that's effective. So when I pray over somebody, I don't pray over them as Jeff, the Yahoo who can't do anything. I pray over them as the one who's anointed by God to do just what I'm doing. Hallelujah. When I stand before you, I don't stand before you as Jeff, the one who couldn't pass, dropped out of high school and couldn't ever finish anything in his life. I don't stand before you as that Jeff. Praise the Lord. If you are constantly drawn back into who you always were, that's because you haven't got to who you were made to be yet. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yep. Hallelujah. Oh, we got just 5 minutes. Praise the Lord. Mike told me I can't go over, so. I'm just kidding. I just had to throw Mike under the bus. Mike likes to joke around with me like that. He always has. But, man, praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful for Mike? I sure am. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, a Sunday just would not be a Sunday without Mike and Tammy showing up. Praise the Lord. It's just the way that it is. Hallelujah. Mike makes sure that I do things in order. He's watching over me. Praise God. That's right. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Actually, you know what? They have a Fenway Park, the Red Sox field. They have a seat out there, way in the back. That's one seat that's red. And there's a story of why it's red, but that doesn't matter. But I think we need to do that. We need to bring one of the Corey chairs down and put it where Mike sits. Yeah. But we need to put one red chair here for Mike. I think it just that's Mike's chair. Just everybody be like, why is that chair red? Well, that's Mike's chair, and that's all you need to know. Hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord. Romans 10:14. Hallelujah. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Glory to God. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful set of scriptures. How will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Listen, this is exactly where we all are. This is exactly where we all were. But we have to realize that something at some point that we're being called into those higher things. We've been called into a place. It doesn't matter how you got here. The only thing that matters is that you're here. Praise the Lord. And now that you're here, you got to understand that you're called into a higher place. Listen, you're not sitting in church probably, and most of you, I've seen all of you multiple times. Praise God. There's nobody in here who this is their first time or has only been here once. I've seen you all multiple times. There's a reason you're here. There's a reason you came back. Maybe you don't even like it, but there's a reason you're here. And that's all that you need to know. There's something that God wants to do in your life. Amen. And one of the number one things that he wants to do is he wants to order your life to make you a more effective. But if you don't hear this stuff, how are you going to know? If you don't have somebody telling you, how are you going to know? How are you going to trust in God? Praise the Lord. If you don't know if he's a God of order, how are you going to fix these things? You're not going to do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. The word is good. Hallelujah. And I want to close with this. Psalm 37:23. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. What makes you a good person? When your steps are ordered by the Lord, following him. That's all it is. It's following God. Jesus said to his disciples, what did he say? He said, he came and he said, all these things, I'm going to make you the start of the church. I'm going to make you powerful, blind. No, he said, follow me. That's all he said to him. Follow me. Praise the Lord. I'll make you fishers of men. But he said, follow me. Praise the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What made them good? They followed God. They just took steps toward God. And that's what we need to do. We need to understand that. But God wants to order all the steps of our life. If your life is in chaos, he will order it if you just start seeking him to do so. And of course, as with anything, if you need help doing any of this, we're always here for you. Just contact us. You got to come up after service and say, hey, can I set up an appointment? Whatever we need to do. But we can help you order your steps. It's not hard to do. Amen? I'm not saying they're ordered by Jeff, but you understand. We can help you point you to the direction of God. Amen? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, God, delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. Notice it says that though he fall, praise the Lord, though he fall. So there's a chance that you may stumble, but you won't be utterly cast down. Praise the Lord. If you're in a place of stumbling, that's all right. God will order your steps. He'll uphold you. He'll keep you through it. In verse 25, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous or a good person, right, forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Praise the Lord. Following God, ordering your steps, the Bible tells us that no matter what, God will always take care of us. He'll always increase us. He'll always bring us to that place where we're fully supplied for. But we have to learn to trust him. Without trusting God, there is no answer. Without giving it completely over to God, there is no answer. Now, maybe you're not ready to completely give it over to God, and that's fine. Start with where you're at. Give something over to him. But if you don't start moving that way, if you don't start moving into that place of God's order, you will never have the things that he's had. I can preach the goodness of God all day long, but you're not going to receive it any more than you did before because you haven't gone after it. You have to step towards God. Allow him to order your steps. Amen. Allow him to do the things. And what's one way that we do this? A real perfect way is we get instruction every week, don't we? We get instruction on Sundays and even some Tuesdays, praise the Lord. We get instruction on how we're to do things and how we're to order things, praise the Lord. The Bible is, that's what my job is, to help people order their lives, amen? And so as you do that, as you are faithful to do that, over time, things will change. I'm going to tell you right now, if you are here looking for a quick fix, I have learned enough in 5.5 years to be able to tell you this with absolute surety. There is no such thing as a quick fix. There's no such thing. Don't seek it out. If you're seeking it out in life, you can ask my mom. My mom does, financial stuff, you know what I mean? And does it. But she can tell you, because she's seen it. People that try to get quick fixes out of finances, and what's it do? It always brings them to ruin, right? Every single time, it brings them to ruin. How many people will ruin their credit because they do some kind of promise, you know, they find some kind of ad on TV or in the paper or something like that. If you do this, we'll restructure your life and we'll fix it all up for you. And it doesn't work. It takes time to get there. But the promise is that if you follow God, you will get there. If you order your steps, you allow him to order your steps, you absolutely will get there. And I'm going to tell you something else that I've learned in just 43 short years, praise the Lord. But 5 years goes by awfully stinking quick. 10 years goes by really quick. And so you'll be sitting there worrying about it for the next 5 years and still not be anywhere. Or in 5 years, your life could be completely different. 1 year, your life can be completely different. Amen. Just follow the Lord. Make the steps to be right, and you'll get there. Amen.